The 9/11 Commission's reported recommendation to create a cabinet-level post to oversee national intelligence is bound to be hotly debated in intelligence circles and beyond. For one perspective on that debate, we're joined now by Jeffrey Smith. He's a former general counsel at the CIA, also worked on the Senate Armed Services Committee and at the State Department. Thanks for coming in.
Good to be here.
We should also mention that you are also an advisor to the John Kerry campaign on intelligence matters. Do you think this debate falls along partisan lines?
I certainly hope not. It's much too important. One of the things we have learned from the 9/11 Commission and we have seen from the shortcomings in the WMD debate, we need better intelligence, and that should not fall on partisan lines.
In your sense of creating a cabinet-level post, good idea, bad idea? What do you think?
I think it's a good idea to give greater authority to a central figure who will have more responsibility to oversee the intelligence community.
What would the difference be between creating a cabinet-level post and the way things are now, where you have a director of central intelligence who's also the head of the CIA, but who has some oversight over the other agencies? What's gained by that?
The advantage of having a cabinet-level position with real authority is that that individual would have the ability to really command the forces, if I may use that term, of the intelligence community in a way that George Tenet, the former director, does not have. And the reason why people favor this is that the intelligence community is fragmented into some 15 different agencies. 80% of the budget is in the Defense Department. There does need to be a better central direction, and the challenge is to give greater control and a cohesion to the community, but without stifling the dissenting voices that somehow got stifled in the report leading up to the Iraq War.
You mentioned the budget and the fact that most of the intelligence budget rests with the Pentagon. We would expect to see a fair amount, a great deal of opposition, I would think, from folks within the defense intelligence community thinking this is not a good idea, that they'd lose control here.
The devil will be in the details. It is certainly true that much of the intelligence that we collect on a day-to-day basis supports the military commanders in the field. But it also has to be used for what is known in the intelligence business as the national mission, which is to say to support the president, the secretary of state on broader national issues. The problem is that much of that is collected by the big defense agencies, the National Reconnaissance Office, the National Security Agency, the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, and those are in the defense budget, and the Defense Department is going to be very reluctant to give up much control, if any, over those agencies.
So where does that leave things, then? You might also be facing strong opposition within Congress, I would think.
The congressional committees that support the Defense Department, the Armed Services Committee in the Senate and in the House, will be very resistant to give up their jurisdiction for the same reasons. This is going to take some statesmanship and some leadership.
Is there a model for this, do you think, in the creation of the Department of Homeland Security, which came about after September 11th, creating one big structure to encompass a lot of smaller agencies and I think mixed reviews of how that's gone?
It has gotten mixed reviews, and I do not think it's a perfect analogy. A slightly better analogy is what Congress did in 1986 when they passed the Goldwater-Nichols Defense Reorganization Act. They left the organization of the Department of Defense essentially intact, but they made a number of smaller changes that had enormous impact on the department. Seems to me that we can make similar changes here, perhaps by giving the director somewhat greater authority over the budget and personnel issues, somewhat greater execution authority, and lining up authority and responsibilities and incentives in a way the current system does not.
Is there one person you think who can oversee these different agencies, which I imagine have very different missions, very different skills that are attached to them, and different functions that they serve within the intelligence community?
They do, but my model is the Secretary of Defense, who sits atop a vast bureaucracy, and it's his job to corral all of those forces and try to get them moving in the same direction. It's a hugely complex matter, but the intelligence community has many of the same elements. That is to say, they have disparate skills, but they all essentially have the same mission.
Couldn't you make the argument, though, that a change of this nature and of this magnitude would be in itself disruptive, that you're adding a lot of uncertainty to agencies that thrive on certainty and a community and a country that depends on that certainty?
It will be a challenge. Any time that you make dramatic changes like this, there is disruption. And it's particularly dangerous when we are in a war with terrorists. On the other hand, it's very clear that change is needed. And what should happen, in my mind, over the next few months is that there are a variety of excellent suggestions out there. And what the Congress and the American people need to do is look at those closely and implement those changes that will accomplish real and effective change, but without being so disruptive as to cause harm.
Jeffrey Smith, thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
Jeffrey Smith is a former general counsel at the CIA.